So I guess it's your week to intro.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome to Fantastic Neighborhood episode 12.
I don't have anything interesting to say, John.
It is the 12th episode, is it not?
The Ocho? No. Okay, that joke is dead. Oh, wait, hold on. Stop it. This joke is officially dead. How's everyone doing? John, I got some important news. Did you know that video games were banned in Germany today?
Wow. Yeah, Fred. No, that's not true, but...
No, I know.
Yesterday, I believe, there was a court injunction on selling products, Microsoft products.
Microsoft products, yeah.
Well, two products, Xbox 360 and Windows 7.
There was actually more than that, but those were the two prominent ones. Like, well, there's other products, like Internet Explorer.
But they're not going to enforce the ban, is what the rest of that thing said.
That's part of a... sort of handshake agreement between Microsoft and Motorola and, well, other courts.
I don't know.
So.
Dude, this whole... I mean, I don't know if you've been following the patent wars of the last 2 years or so, but
no,
this,
I know,
this is happening like crazy. Like, Motorola wasn't allowed to sell the Galaxy Tab in Europe.
Right.
So, yeah, whatever. Not interested. You sent it to me and my eyes instantly rolled. Boring.
Patent litigation is amongst the forerunners of my interests. Anyway, so welcome to the show, everyone. Episode 12, we got some good stuff for you today. I don't think it's going to be a short one this time like last week. I think we got a full episode ahead of us.
I hope it's short.
You're short.
All right, we'll be right back with what you've been doing. And we're back.
Hi.
We stole what you've been doing straight from Perpetual Geek.
Well, you stole it because I was just like, let's just call it whatever. How about Fred and John talk about stuff?
Yeah, that has that really
it resonates. I think it has like a good vocal aesthetic.
All right, so you played Journey at my behest.
I did play Journey on your PS3.
Did you bring it back?
No, I figured we'd get it.
Oh yeah,
way back.
True.
I didn't want to lug your PS3 around. It's okay, like 1,000 pounds.
Yeah, it's okay, 8. But yeah, what did you think? I have the feeling you weren't as enamored with it because you don't like things.
No, I liked it. It was a fine game. There were a couple things that you set me up for that I didn't quite see the same thing in as you. The game is beautiful. I'm not going to lie. Like, it's stylized, but it's a beautiful game. And the sound design, I think, was probably better than the game itself. John, put the sword away. Put the sword away!
Okay.
All right. John has swords. Anyway, so the thing that you told me, the thing that you urged me to do, you're like, you have to connect to the internet and you have to play the game where other people pop in and out.
Yeah, because I think this game could, as the besties put it, solve the Middle East peace crisis. Whatever.
I don't know if it's solved. It's more like hid the problem, right? The problem is that people can communicate.
No, here's what happens. So Benjamin Netanyahu's playing Journey, right? And then Yasser Arafat is playing Journey from the grave. And then it gets to the credits, and they see the names, and they're like...
And then they both see that they played with George W. Bush.
He's like, I played with Yasser Arafat. Why don't we just squish this beef?
Well, here was my experience with the multiplayer. At the end of the game, they were 8 separate people.
Yeah.
Two of which had Juggalo names.
Yeah. That was incredible that, like, because I only remember one guy kind of being a douche, and I'm not sure which guy he was on the board. Uh-huh. But, you know, there were, like, probably half of the names were stupid online gamer tags, like XX Smokes Mad Blunts 420.
Right. So, here's the thing, though. Everyone I played with was a bastard. No one helped. No one teamworked. Nothing. I basically soloed that game and occasionally saw another person.
That's weird. Maybe you were the bastard.
No, not at all.
I that's odd because I didn't have that experience. I had one guy who was not waiting for me towards the end during that very, very arduous part.
Yes.
He wasn't waiting for me, so I just sat down and waited until he was gone.
I mean, my experience was that, like, of the 8 people who I interacted with, I mean, at least 2 of them I don't think I saw. Like, two of them were probably somewhere off in the distance going some other direction, and I never caught up with them because they didn't even know I was
there.
I thought
that was possible. I also thought, like, it might have been very seamless to where, like, the when one guy disappeared, well, when it got, like, maybe you look away for just 2 seconds and then they change guys.
I think the pop in, pop out, like, I think you have to be a certain distance away from someone or they have to disconnect for them to drop. I think that if they're within a certain distance and still interacting, like, they'll never drop out. Like, they're never going to disappear when they're on your screen.
See, I don't know, and I don't think that that game company is going to release the
formula,
the algorithm, the net code, as it were.
But, like, no one helped, no one participated, right? There were one or two people since, like,
this
touching...
This is, like, your life, man.
Since touching another person recharges your scarf in that game, were some instances...
Just so I can break it down for the audience at home, he's doing a scissoring motion. Yes. With his... So, scissoring restores your scarf.
Yes. So, there were a couple opportunities where I could just, like, run into someone and get my scarf recharged, but... Other than that, there was no participation.
Funny. People weren't arping like, come this way?
Not even remotely.
Man, this is shocking to
me. The NPCs in the game arped, not the people.
There are no NPCs.
Well, I mean, the flying carpets or whatever the hell they are.
Oh, okay.
Which actually brings me to a question. Did you feel that this game had more of an Asian aesthetic or a Middle Eastern aesthetic?
I thought it was more Middle Eastern-ish.
See, I originally went into the game thinking that, and as I played through, I started feeling much, much more that it was an Asian aesthetic.
Oh, you know what? It was the mashup of the two. It had a California aesthetic, because that's where it was developed. Well, no, in Santa Monica.
It definitely was a bit from each, but...
I've cracked the code. It has a Santa Monica aesthetic, like the Everclear song. It is art, that guy, you know?
Yeah, that guy with the thing.
Yeah, yeah, Everclear.
The blonde guy.
Yeah.
But,
topical reference, yeah.
Near the end, I mean, in the beginning, it starts... I wonder if that's not some sort of hidden message, by the way. Because the guy, Genova, or whatever his name is, the designer behind this game, is from Hong Kong.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I mean, obviously... Probably some of that stood with him, but I'm wondering if you start off in this very desolate and run-down desert and the ruins of a civilization, and near the end you're getting to a happy, you know, sort of Asian tapestry land.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. But I like the game enough, although the thing that took me most by surprise while I was playing was the... And I don't know if you experienced this, because I don't know if the path is always the same for everyone, but the Cool Borders level...
Yeah, no. I know everybody goes through that slidey part, and you tend to use your person to there, but Cool Board? No.
It was very much the, let's say, the snowboarding game from Final Fantasy VII.
Except it was kind of fun and controlled.
But it used
well.
The same mechanics as the regular game.
In that you were sliding down a hill.
Like, yeah, but it was still sort of, there were arches to go under and, you know, jumps to take. They weren't integral, but, you know, even when you took a jump, there was a flourish at the end of the jump.
Yeah.
Like you did, like, a little 360 thing.
So you're saying that Journey takes place in the same universe as Tricky. SSX Tricky.
Maybe.
SSX? SSX.
Sex Tricky?
Essex?
Okay, enough of that. But I did like it, and fortunately, even though people are bastards, it was... completely soulable.
Yeah, I thought it was better with a person because my people weren't cunts.
They weren't.
Well, whatever. They didn't come across as real douchebags to me. Cool. So good for you, man.
So, John, we both played the same demo.
We did.
And I think we have differing opinion, maybe slightly differing.
Yeah.
So we played Bloodforge, which is not a game that was on my radar at all, but my Xbox dashboard was literally lit up with this fucking demo.
Literally lit up with the demo.
Like, every panel had something shouting out this demo on it. Like, they put a lot of advertising.
We call those, in the industry, calls to action.
Yes. So...
promo touts.
Downloaded it, not expecting much. I almost thought it might have been a fighting game for some reason. I don't know why I was under that impression.
It's got a fighting game name.
Yeah. It is a God of War rehash.
It's a character action game, third person with combos and stuff.
God of War, Devil May Cry, somewhere
Bayonetta.
In between those two. Yeah. I thought it was goddamn awful. And
I think your experience with the game might have been colored by, well, your experience with the game.
So let me paint you the picture of what happened. Downloaded the demo. demo took forever to download. Like, it was, it's actually a really, really heavy download for the time you actually play the demo.
Okay, see, here, and let me tear you apart right here. Maybe that was the wrong term. I just think I threatened to rape you, and I apologize.
You might have.
It's okay. So Xbox Live Arcade games, if you download the demo, you're downloading the full version
game, right?
Every time. And that's why there, you know, you can unlock the full version from within every demo. So that's why it was a 2 gig download. They couldn't. Well, I'm sure the part that we played, that part, is only a couple hundred megs.
Well, I mean, it's still probably going to be heavy because it's the full character model.
It's half a gig or something.
Yeah.
But yeah. So it took you forever to download. It didn't take me forever because I have blazing fast internet here.
Is that sarcasm or
no, seriously?
No, I actually have really fast internet too.
Pay for speed boost, man. I get 35 megabits per second.
I think I was just doing too much at the same time because I think I had some other downloads.
Oh, downloading pornography.
Anyway, but while I was, so I started the demo, started playing it, and it glitched on me. And you fight, so it's got a war clone. You fight waves of enemies. So after, like, the third wave, like, it just stopped and nothing was spawning.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where, like, I just started swinging randomly in the air and I was hitting air and blood was coming out. Like, it didn't make any sense. Like, it obviously glitched. So I restarted it. And there's no restart, like, fight option. You have to restart the demo. So I restarted.
Well, that's because the demo is only that one fight.
I know. I restart. Well, it comes in waves, though. I'm saying there's no restart waves, whatever have you. I restart the fight. And then I realize I have to start the game. I start the game over. You can't skip the cutscene.
The first one. Okay.
So, which I guess the assumption is people are going to watch the cutscene because it's the first one, which I get, but it was kind of inconvenient. But once again, it's the difference between a full game and a demo and the fact that apparently they don't really do much to differentiate the demo from the full game.
They don't on the Xbox Live Arcade.
Yeah. And then, so it glitched, and then I played through it again. It's extraordinarily short, and then I realized that the point that I glitched at was the point where it should have just played the ending cutscene and the demo was over. So I played it all over again just to see the 2 second ending.
My heart really bleeds for you that you.
Well,
you
it spent, fucking should.
That you spent 10 minutes playing something for free.
Yes,
and you were slightly inconvenienced.
No, it was longer than that, dude. That goddamn opening scene is like 4 or 5 minutes long.
Okay, so I thought it was competent. Apparently, it's not really tearing up the Metacritic charts or whatever.
It's all been done before.
But it's $15, and 2 years ago, this would have been a $60 game, and it would have been called Dante's Inferno.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's Dante's Inferno.
It's Dante's Inferno, it's God of War, it seems family dies, gods are to blame. Or religious figures. I mean, these Western-developed character action games like this, like, a lot of them have some similar things going on.
Well, this is, I think, Microsoft's answer to the PS3 exclusive God of War series, right? Or at least their attempt.
I don't know that. I know Microsoft published it. I don't think this is really an answer to that because I think it's just 1 week's $15 game release.
Well, I feel
like
there's
the
just
only thing. It's $15.
Yeah, no, I will say that the graphical polish on the game for $15 is like it just shows how far the industry has come.
Yeah.
That being said, the game to me is just recycled Drek again. Like I wouldn't play it now knowing.
Okay. Yeah, I think I disagree because I think when this game goes on sale for like $7 to $10, I think I'll pick it up.
All right. I mean, fair is fair. I mean, maybe the demo is so short, maybe there's more to it than I really wrap. Because I liked when Devil May Cry and Onimusha and when those games first started coming out, like the character-driven action games, I liked them. Now, not so much. Like,
I was
never huge on the God of War series.
I think you didn't mention the most important part of this demo, and the main character's name is Crom.
Yeah, well,
By Crom.
Yes.
So this takes place in the Conan the Barbarian.
The Sir Arthur Conan Doyle world.
Sir Arthur Conan Doyle?
Yes. No?
No.
He's Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Who am I thinking
of? Dumbass.
God damn it. Conan was written by the guy who wrote John Carter, who is...
Walter Simonson.
No.
No. Anyway, but I don't know that it officially takes place in the Conan universe, but like with Krull the Conqueror and everything. But, you know, it does in my head.
Yeah. No, same here. It was the first thing I thought. Although, I got to tell you, it's one of those games where there's plenty of impracticalities. Like,
were you talking about that character created by Robert E. Howard? Because you're wrong. Because you're wrong. It's not the same person that
it's not
John Carter of Mars. You're just thinking because those same the same painting, the same artist that did the painting covers, the covers to the books.
Oh, yeah, maybe that's it.
Yeah.
He died recently.
This is the worst. Why did I just do that? Why did I just make that noise?
I don't know, but I liked it.
Okay, so, Fred, you played something else.
No, actually, that's a comic book I have on my list, actually, that I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
I want to hear about your gaming first before I talk about my comic book.
Yeah, so I bought Zen... Well, I got Zen Pinball for free on my iPad because the first board, the first table's free. And then
that's how they get you.
Yeah, and then the three Marvel tables that are available on iOS are knocked down to $1 each this week.
Is this the game that was made by, what is it, The Fictory?
I don't know. Zen Studios. They put out the pinball game on Xbox Live that also has the tables. It's called Zen Pinball on iOS and Android, and it's called something else on Xbox and PS3. But I got the three Marvel tables, which the ones available for iOS are Thor, Captain America, and Wolverine. None of which are really my favorite characters. But, yeah, pretty fun. But this is not pinball emulation like Pinball Arcade.
It's
like,
a video
this
game.
Is, like, very, very much, you know, video pinball. Like, in that there's not just the crazy shit that's happening, but the ball physics don't feel realistic.
Well, I mean, it's also not real tables either, right? They're custom made for the game itself.
Yeah, and there's also, I mean, there are literally like 3D characters running around.
Literally 3D.
Literally,
characters.
But it also feels like, you know, like if a normal pinball table is like at whatever a 12 degree angle, feels like this is at like a 18 degree angle or something. In that the gravity feels weird in it.
Okay.
But it's still fun, and definitely for four tables for $3, I would definitely pick that up. This week, all the Marvel tables are on sale because of the Avengers coming out. So I would recommend that if you're into playing pinball on your iPad. I wouldn't personally play this on a console, but it's a great thing to do on a train.
Yeah, you know, console controls always for pinball, especially since the triggers are typically the...
No, left and right bumpers. It works great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like there's too much. Maybe if it's the shoulders, but the
triggers
feel
like
they're too much.
Yeah, no, the bumpers is perfect. It's absolutely perfect.
So John, you are still watching Justified, I see.
Dude, that show is so good. It was the finale, but I haven't seen the finale yet. I'm up to like episode 9 of this season.
What season is it? Like 3 or
3.
4? All
right. Dude, I don't know if you like westerns, but this show is like a western that takes place in modern day. That is, we already talked about this, kind of like Call of Juarez, except good. Timothy Oliphant is the biggest badass in the world.
How much getting into does it take? Actually watch this
so
show.
If you started, I mean, I would watch all three seasons because they're all good. You could get into it at the start of any season,
sure,
but it's too goddamn good, man. It's so good.
So this or Game of Thrones, because you've said the same thing about
both.
Yeah,
these are the only two things I watch right now.
Oh god, I gotta catch up on my television,
dude. Oh man, this show is so good. They curse, and there is action, and people get shot, and he drinks bourbon. He is my hero.
Drinks bourbon.
Yeah.
All right.
And he busts fucking oxy dealers.
I guess I'm going to have to catch up with the show.
So, Fred, you like we're doing this good back and forth? Like,
I know. Right?
Like, almost
good,
like
there's
we
a good
practice.
Dichotomy here.
Chew. Oh, okay.
I'm gonna talk about this comic book, because I actually do read a lot of comics, but lately I've been falling off the bandwagon, as it were. Getting on the bandwagon. I've not been reading as many books.
Falling off the wagon.
Okay, sure.
Joining a bandwagon would be liking something that's popular. Falling off the wagon. You wouldn't
wait,
fall
so maybe
off
that does
bandwagon.
Work, though, because I was on the bandwagon with comics, and then
but
I
But then you
stopped.
Fall off the wagon. You can't
okay.
fall off the bandwagon.
I'm going to make my own turn of phrase. So I've been reading Chew.
Word.
Yes. Chew is a... I only buy trade paperbacks now because buying single issues is just like throwing your money away. They don't hold up. You can't store them. I mean, I don't buy comics for value, but they're not built to last. So I only buy trade paperbacks. So I was waiting for Chew Volume 5 to come out. Chew is a story of a a detective, I guess. I'll call him a detective or a cop, law enforcement officer of some sort, who has it's in a world where a lot of people have, like, weird psychic powers. His psychic power is that he can eat any food or, later on, substance and sort poop? Of divine...
Does he eat poop at any point?
Yeah. But he can sort of divine...
Semen?
The past from it.
Does he ever...
Not yet, but that's a good plot twist.
Urine.
But he'll have to eat, like, he'll eat boogers. Cadavers and stuff like that.
Oh, that's gross.
Right? He doesn't... But they, you know, it's made to be gross. It's like his burden is this power. It's a funny book. It's not really, like, a heady, serious book. But he... So he has this power to divine the past of the subject that he's eating. So if he eats a cow, he can tell that how that cow's life was and what it was like to be slaughtered at the slaughterhouse and all that stuff. If he eats a dead body, he can find out about that person, you know, all this sort of stuff. So, and I should also mention the only thing he can eat without actually getting that experience is beets.
Oh, Beats yeah. Bears, Battlestar Galactica.
Anyway, so I'm up to volume 5, and I gotta say, I love the book, and I love the story, and I love sort of the zany setting that everything has. I'm kind of getting fucking fed up with the speed that this story is moving at. Each trade paperback is a self-contained sort of story arc within the whole 2-story line. I almost imagine this is probably going to be like a 10-volume thing. I think that there's a beginning, middle, and end, unlike something like Walking Dead, which is like trade paperback 22 now. But it's moving a little slow. This whole book was a storyline that doesn't really have any relevance to what seems to be the rest of the story. And it was really just to establish one character trait of some of the characters. And they keep reusing this trope that they started in the first book that becomes really taxing after a while, in that every time they introduce a character, even characters they've already introduced, they do it in the same sort of panel format with the same sort of dialogue. It's hard to explain, but like...
Yeah, that's why I'm currently bootlegging those comics.
Okay. Or I could just lend them to you.
Oh, yeah, you could just do that. Cool.
But, I mean, it's overall, it's a good book, and it's a great concept. It just and it keeps winning awards for what it's worth. It's just moving a little slow for me.
Yeah, I'm going to check that out and then come back next week and say how stupid your opinion is. I finished the original run of The Max.
Did you read the Anne Friends book?
No, I'm going to probably read that tomorrow or the next day. Yeah, I don't know what the fuck was going on, but I know I really liked it. I know I had some emotional parts, you know. That book is really,
yeah,
really good.
Do you know what I noticed about the ending of that book? Not to spoil anything too much, but, like, the end, like, I did not really understand what was going on, but it was still kind of depressing and sad. Like, even not knowing what was going on, you're still like, oh. Because you know it's coming to an end, too.
Yeah. Well, because they say those ways... ending everything. What? Hey, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm gonna check out the Friends of the Max, and yeah, I liked it, and maybe I'll go research what some people think.
There's a lot of, like, theory crafting about what the end is about. I mean, there is a definitive this is what the end of the book is about, because Sam Keith himself came out and said this is what the end is about.
Oh, well, in that case, I'll track that down.
But there's a lot of people reading into it.
Yeah, man.
Like any pop work, right?
This far removed from when it was actually happening, like, it kind of reminded me of Lost in a bit. Like,
I could see that.
Because the place I worked when Lost finished, they had this guy, and his nickname is the professor, because he taught, like, middle school before he worked there. And then he was the head of university. I'm outside of my 1 year where I'm not allowed to talk badly about that company. But
so slander away.
Yeah, well, it's not slander. So everybody, this guy would always present his, like, lofty theories about how Lost ended, and then we watched
The Sopranos.
We all watched the finale together, like the whole company. We went over to the CEO's theater room at their apartment building. Yeah,
Jesus
serious.
Christ,
dude, it was a startup. Kool Aid, man. Come on. So we go over there. And as soon, like, I'm just very quickly realizing that everything this idiot says was completely wrong. and just the grin on my face. And then the next day, everybody was like, the finale was the worst. I'm like, no, it was awesome because that idiot was wrong.
I love when people overanalyze stuff. I mean, yeah. I'm inclined to do it too sometimes.
And then he got fucking fired. I mean, after I left.
Oh, then what do you care about bad-mouthing him? Fuck him.
I mean, fuck that company, but fuck it. Oh, man, I'm going to have to edit maybe
John,
some of
I'm going to intro something very important here. You have a story that you've been dying to tell me, and you've been holding it for the show.
You know, and then I feel like maybe you're going to be let down.
I don't know. My expectations have such low standards for you.
Okay, so two weekends ago, we went to my friends and I, my like high school friends and stuff, and some college friends. We went to Atlantic City for my bachelor party. Because I'm getting married in a week and a half. Jesus Christ.
I know. You're done, dude. I'm surprised you're even doing the podcast still.
So we went to Atlantic City, and the stars did not align, and we did not end up going to a strip club.
Aw, so, poor baby.
Well, but you should go to a strip club on your bachelor party. So my best friend, this past Saturday, was like, okay, let's just go to,
I thought I was your best friend.
So my other best friend was just like, hey, we should go to a local strip club in Monmouth County, New Jersey. This probably gives the...
How far out is Monmouth? I don't really know.
It's like an hour from the city.
Okay, so it's
hour
rural.
And 15 minutes. Yeah, it's really rural. Okay.
to me, Staten Island is rural.
Oh, that's disgusting. That place is disgusting. So we went to the strip club. We had some beers first, and then it's BYOB, so we're kind of just hanging out, drinking beers. There are a bunch of like weirdos that, not weirdos, but like real scummy Jersey archetypes there. So we're just hanging out, looking at naked girls, right?
Like, wait, the Guido stereotype?
Kind of, guys throwing around singles, and then they ran out of money.
Because that's not the shore, right?
No, it is.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah. It's not pickup truck country?
No. It's very much, that's where I'm from, is okay. That general area.
That explains a lot.
Fuck off. So I'm like, I see this girl and I'm like, hey dude, that kind of looks like Katie's cousin. I'm like, tell me, does that girl have like a stupid fucking piercing like above her lip? He's like, yeah, dude, I think she does. I'm like, oh man. I held her baby at Christmas.
You know what's funny about this is that you were telling me last week about Katie's cousin who's a stripper. Just out of nowhere, you guys were talking about it.
Yeah, that she might be working at a strip club. It happened to be the one I went to.
And of all the strip clubs in New Jersey, of which there are many.
Yeah, there could have been like four or five other choices in the local area. So,
is a strip club do you align with a strip club or do you shop around? Like, you do Monday here and Tuesday. Well, I figure if anyone knows, it's a connoisseur of strip clubs like yourself.
I'm not a connoisseur of strip clubs.
Like, do you go to this place on Wednesday because Roxy is dancing or something? Or
no, I don't go to strip clubs very often.
Okay.
The time before this that wasn't New Orleans was when I still worked at we went... I gotta delete that too. We went to after like the Christmas party. Went there with like the creepy COO, who turns out to be.
Are you still recording this?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Because I'm gonna bleep out the name of the company.
Okay.
So she saw me, and then I thought she smiled at me and was gonna like come over and say, "Oh well, this is awkward," but instead just avoided us for the rest of the night.
You know, that's probably the best thing to do.
So the next, I crashed at my buddy's place because I was too drunk to drive back to Katie's parents' house where we were staying for the weekend. And I hadn't told Katie I was going to a strip club beforehand. And I'm like, so I get back and she wakes up and I say, "So I know where your cousin works." And she says, "Are you serious?"
With that cadence.
And gives me this death stare. So I go to text my buddy. I leave the room. I'm doing laundry or something. I go to text my best friend. I'm like, oh, man. Yep. Katie's pissed. And I sent it to her instead.
Does she think
she wasn't mad anymore.
Does she think that you went there because her cousin was working there? Or does she think, Like, does she realize it was just a coincidence?
No. We've laughed about it since. I mean, not obviously. Like, no, I found out where her cousin was.
Good
man. Because I was like, before the week before, I was like, she was like, yeah, I think she works at a place like that. And I'm like, oh, I think she's probably like a waitress or something, you know?
Right. Like, you know, a cigarette girl.
She had like a, dude, she had like a kid like 7 months ago or something.
Does she have her C-section scar while she's dancing?
It was gross. And then Jersey. Somebody asked me this week that was like, well, was she leaking? You know?
Oh, Jesus Christ, dude. You know, I expect a high level of discourse, but I feel like this might just be too lofty a subject.
Yeah.
You know, I got to tell you, I don't go to strip clubs. Like, I've only been once in my life, and it was on a business trip, and I fucking hated it, and it was in Vegas, and it was like an expensive one, too. Like, it was a, what was it? It was a Crazy Horse.
Yeah, I don't think I would like that either.
But I got to tell you, dude, I'm not a fan of going into a room with the intention of getting boners with other men.
I don't think
men I know who I went there with who I have absolutely no attraction to whatsoever. Because there's some men out there. I'll get a boner with them.
I don't know. I don't really get a boner. I just appreciate a naked lady. Like, I'm not, like, getting a boner just for looking at a naked lady while I'm standing there drinking beers. Like,
conversely, I don't like going to a strip club with people who I am convinced are going there to get a boner.
Yeah, I don't really think about it. Anyway.
You know, you should concern yourself with other men's boners more often, John.
All right.
So we're gonna come right back with our topic for today. Thanks for sticking through this.
Thanks for bonering your way through this. Betty won't stop listening to modern rock. Oh, she hates to be alone. WNBC.
Hi, guys. We're back. We just refilled our drinks, and now we're going to talk about something, which we haven't previewed yet on the show, so I think we should get the title right now.
My cuppeth runneth over with the future of console
with things.
Blah, blah, blah.
So today's topic is subscription versus ownership. And the catalyst for this topic was an article that was released today. John, you want to cover that part?
We might differ a little bit on the title of this segment. So there's a rumor that there's going to be an Xbox Live and Kinect bundle, the one that's currently, I think, $300.
And I read 4 gig.
Yeah, no, that's the 4 gig model. They sell a shit ton of those, dude. So Microsoft's going to release a version that is $100, and then comes with a 2-year contract at $15 a month.
Now, that contract is with Microsoft for Xbox Live of some sort. It's not like a cell phone or a cable provider.
Well, it is like a cell phone in that you...
I mean, it's not with one of those companies. It's with Microsoft themselves.
No, it's with Microsoft themselves. In that, so you get, for that $15 a month, you get Xbox Live Gold. You get an extended warranty, which, since you bought an Xbox, that's pretty useful.
Yeah, I would say so.
As much as I love that thing, it's, you know, it's like the Jeep of the video game console. It's like, dude, why do you have the... Why is the wheel well glued together? some undisclosed streaming content, which
I mean, that could be any number of things.
I'm like, man, what is it? If it includes a Netflix account, man, then this is actually a pretty good deal.
I highly doubt it's Netflix. I'd have to imagine it was either something that Microsoft had more ties to as far as content.
Maybe you get a Zune movie download a month or something.
Yeah,
like
something
that.
Along those lines. Originally, I mean,
some sort of rental package.
The fact that it said streaming threw me off because originally I thought it was going to be some sort of like game of the month club sort of thing.
That's why I'm saying like something on the Zune marketplace, which maybe they're going to release something video based on there to make it more attractive.
I mean, the way they phrased it, it makes it seem like it's something that you don't already get with Xbox Live. Yeah, since they already give away a lot of content with that.
Yeah, and it's and of course this is a rumor so far. But so your question for me.
Yeah, so is this really a subscription or is it just an installment plan to own the thing?
It's a service plan. It's a subsidized purchase.
No, I mean,
much like my iPhone.
So there's two ways to look at that, though, right? Because,
but I own my iPhone.
You own, well, as long as you pay your bill.
Well, no, I still,
I mean,
own,
you're
my,
paid up, right?
I still own my iPhone, though. Like they can't come repo my iPhone.
My question is that, you know, your iPhone is inherently tied to your service. So if you turn off your service, you can't use your iPhone for the phone anymore. If you turn off your, if you stop paying your,
yeah,
Xbox,
but,
what is the ramification?
But we all know the iPhone is much more. Come on, I make fucking 10 minutes of phone calls a month.
But here's
the thing: if you turn off your service, you pay a cancellation fee, and that's what's going to be here. So you own that console, but you're in a contract.
Sure. I mean, here's my apprehension about it. Is I feel like in order to release this, a lot of stuff has to change on Microsoft's behalf, because, like, I'm already a gold member, right? I'm not paying 15 a month, but I'm paying, what,
it's,
five?
It's 10 a month for if you're on a month-to-month plan already. I don't pay more than $40 for a year, because you can always track down those cards for some on the cheap.
Sure, which is $5 a month.
But, yeah, so this essentially is it's exactly like a cell phone. It's not a rent-to-own thing. It's a service contract. As long as you use the service, you get it for this price. It's the exact same thing, because if you cancel your service, they don't come get your console. They charge you $200 or $400 cancellation fee, prorated,
yeah.
I'm sure, and then send you to a bill. And then when you eventually don't pay that bill, they send you to collections, which is exactly what they would do, which any other service-based contract would do.
I actually started to question if that was the path. I mean, that seems like the logical path, but is it more like the Diablo 3 always-on connectivity? Maybe we're looking at a different version of the Xbox dashboard where you have to sign in and you have to be paying a fee?
I don't think so. I think
it is a new bundle. Conceivably, it could be new software or firmware.
Microsoft doesn't really usually split things like that. But of course they don't normally sell things like that. I think what I said is the most likely version from what the rumors I saw were. If this even exists.
Sure. So, I mean, while we both agree that this is sort of like really them charting untested waters for this industry, and it's a total game changer if it works, I still have some questions about it. Not to be the contrarian of the group, but. Since it is the 4-gig model and not like the 20 or 60 or whatever other models they have, 4-gig...
I think besides 4 at this point, they sell a 120 and a 250.
Yeah, I mean, they're way past 4, right? So my question became, like, so obviously with a 4-gig...
Or it's a 160 and a 250, something like that.
The intention of a 4-gig is not to get you to download a ton of shit off the Xbox Live Marketplace.
Yeah. Right?
And it feels like it's the kind of system that would... Because it's one step closer to virtual consoling, right? It's one step closer to digital everything, because you're already paying a subscription fee.
Where did you see the rumor, on Kotaku or a Joystick?
I think it was actually like a more reputable, like just general news site.
Okay, because I didn't see a mention of 4-gig, but that would make sense.
Actually, for what it's worth, the first time I saw this today was in the elevator on that little screen they have in the elevator.
But I don't think the 4-gig thing doesn't really make that much of a difference, because you can plug in fucking thumb drives and get all the unlimited storage you want.
Sure, but do you want to use a thumb drive to store your bigger games? I mean, it just seems like a lot
of work. I don't
want
to, but it actually is faster than the hard drive in many cases.
I don't want to anyway.
I'm not going to do that. I have a big boy console. But this isn't aimed at you and me, man.
No, I know.
It isn't aimed at, let's see, I've had the 360 since November of 2005.
November of since it came out.
Yeah, I spent $400.
Yeah, no. But like, so I mean, it's not aimed at us, but I do question this exclusive content that, well, we don't know if it's exclusive yet, but what is it going to be? And does it apply to us? Is it something that we're going to want? Is it something that we're going to want to sign up for a plan for?
Yeah, I am interested to see what it is. I think, you know, based on our pure speculation and no inside information at all, that it will be access to some sort of streaming video content. Because, I mean, the data's out there. People use their Xbox more for the people who
like
have it
Netflix
on, people who
all
have
that.
It online use it more for Netflix, Hulu, YouTube, whatever, than they do use it for gaming.
I buy it. Yeah.
It's a great box, man. Especially at $100.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the cross media bar, so.
Yeah. What did I tell you today, man? If they would have done this for $0, I think this would have been maybe a little more of a game changer out of the gate.
Can I tell you why they didn't do it for $0? Here's my theory. Is that they still needed to have something to incentivize, like, actual sales at, like, a GameStop. Like, that's my only theory.
Well, no, they subsidize these sales.
Right.
So GameStop is still going to get whatever cut they get selling the $250 bundle. This is the same way it works with cell phones. Based purely on our speculation. Have I said this is speculation?
Yeah, this is totally speculation. But, I mean, I think it is well-founded speculation.
We don't comment on rumors of speculation for more than 20 minutes.
But, so, yeah, I mean, I feel like if it's not $0, it's because they physically could not find a way to make it $0 mathematically.
Yeah. So let me tell, I think they could have, and this is my major reason I think I'm excited about this, is they're testing the waters.
Yeah.
They are at the end of the console cycle. Realistically, we were going to have a new 360 or whatever the next device is in 18 months.
Yeah, give or take. So, and that's all rumor too, though, right? I mean,
it's gonna happen. There's gonna be something. This might be that smaller Xbox Lite thing that they're talking about, the thing that's all digital. I mean, there's nothing but rumors. We're gonna find out at E3. They said this is gonna get announced this week. E3 is in what, 2 weeks?
Something
like that.
Where they're gonna be showing the new Skyrim DLC?
Am I gonna be in Belize for this?
Oh, dude,
I gotta cancel. I canceled my honeymoon.
You're going to miss the Skyrim DLC announcement. What are you going to do with yourself? You're going to be fucking spelunking in some cave in Belize.
I'm going to play the DLC when it comes out. But so they are testing the waters. The fact of the matter is they're still selling consoles much faster than they should.
This is true.
They're selling more than Sony, and they're selling more, way, way more than Nintendo.
I don't even consider Nintendo anymore because it feels like it's doing something totally different.
Well, it's not doing anything. It's not selling anymore.
No, I know, but I mean, even when it was doing it, it's a totally different market.
So this is essentially, they're like, well, we're still going to sell this many units for the rest of the life of this console, which foreseeably is 18 months, add on another 18 months, 3 years, probably 3 more years of support for this console, right?
Sure.
Assuming it goes the way of the PS2, which is much more likely because it had such a greater install base than the original Xbox did.
I mean, it's even hard to say because, like, technology is moving so fast and we're saying they're testing the waters with this, but, I mean, everything that happens lately seems to be testing the waters to some extent. Kinect was testing the waters.
Yeah, and fucking they were nice and warm. But I think, I mean, they're gonna check it out, and I wouldn't be surprised if the next console launches $500 or $200 with a monthly commitment.
Do you think the monthly commitment is going to be like a, what's a good phrase, like a mortgage? Like at the end of the day, you're going to pay more for the console, but you're paying it in installment? Like
absolutely.
Very QVC?
Yeah, absolutely. That's where it differs. That's where it differs from the American cell phone model because...
Right.
If I go and buy that cell phone for $600, I'm still stuck with AT&T's $90 a month plan.
Right.
You know, in Europe it's a little different in that you always pay out of pocket for your phone, and then the service is relatively cheap.
And it's universal. I think it's all the same band, so you can use any phone on any provider.
Yeah, they're all GSM, and you just pop in a different card.
Yeah.
So I mean, when I was there, I had a $40 phone, but then I got issued a $600 phone from work. And then I was very bit cautious with that thing. but yeah, I really think it's going to be interesting. This is going to be a very interesting E3 because they are not going to announce the new consoles.
Right.
They've said this.
Yeah, it's going to be a weird one. I think a lot of game journalists and even, you know, fans of gaming and people who follow
the
news
of the genre
are sort of following E3 this year, and a lot of people had expectations at the beginning of this year that are just simply not going to be met. I mean, I don't know if those expectations were valid or not, but the fact that there's really not a new console that we don't already know about, like the Wii U, obviously, but we know, we get it.
Yeah, I already told you today, like, I want a new console so bad that I might even buy a Wii U.
It has been a very large period for no consoles to come out. I mean, I'm not even counting the Vita and the 3DS because handhelds have always been their own medium.
Well, yeah, this is. I mean, it's going to end up being an 8/9 year cycle for the 360 and about an 8 year cycle for the PlayStation.
And then I wonder if the next cycle isn't even going to be more permanent, right? Like. This site, they figured out that they can release these systems and have 8 or 9 years on them.
Yeah, I think the next home console generation is probably the last traditional one.
I don't know. Maybe traditional. I mean, if we want to define it as that. I don't think it's going to be the last home console. I think there's definitely going to be something after that.
Absolutely, it's going to be the last console where you go into a store and buy a box of game.
Yes. One box of game, please.
I'll take three of those, sir. I mean,
I'm actually surprised it hasn't happened sooner. But yeah, I think that the expectation of having the internet through television channels fairly soon
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, they could. I mean, TVs have so much in them. Right? They could put the 360 in a TV.
I mean, even look at the Google TV. Like, you can download apps from the Android marketplace.
Yeah,
on that.
And I mean, there's been rumors about Apple is going to release their own television that's you know, App Store enabled.
Right.
They've already got AirPlay, so you can play, you know, iPad games on your TV with which I mean, right now, yeah, maybe not so much.
Right. And the games aren't really made for that.
Yeah. If they released a, I don't know. I think it's a great time to be us.
Well, great and scary as shit, but.
Nah, man, we're making big bucks.
I know, but it's just so much.
I want it
so
all.
Much money. I miss traditional. I have my console, and now I'm going to go buy a cartridge.
Yeah, well, we'll see. You know, we'll see what happens.
There's something magical about it.
Oh yeah. Well, so, you're talking about the guy who opens a new game and then instantly puts his nose in it to smell new game smell.
You know? Do you know my weird gaming habit? Now that we're talking about it,
do you do that too?
I used to. Here's my old gaming habit. I don't know why I developed this habit, but you know the. That little plastic strip with the hologram at the top of the gaming box,
on the side, yeah.
I used to save those.
Okay, that's weird,
isn't it? I don't know why. I had them all on the inside of like a dresser drawer at my when I was living with my grandfather. Just there, I had hundreds of them.
Mm.
Yeah, no, I'm a creep.
Yeah,
but this, you know, okay. So there's one other thing I wanted to bring up, and this sort of this is the opposite side of the coin from something else that's happening with our media consumption channels. The rumor is now that Hulu, who recently lost one of its funding partners or venture capital groups that was investing in it,
mm-hmm.
Is going to go to a subscription model. It's no longer going to be free.
Well, they do have the subscription model already.
Well, it's going to be
100% subscription.
But it's going to be 100% not free anymore, in that you have to have a cable provider who provides NBC programming.
Yeah.
And so you have to have that ID to sign in.
Yeah, so it's like ESPN3 on 360 or something. Yeah.
That has been met with severe backlash.
Well, I don't think that would work out very well. Hulu's been, as much as they've done some good, they've been kind of all over the place. Like, I tried Hulu Plus for a couple months, and then it was like, I would look at content, and they'd be like, oh, this content is available on computer, but not on devices that hook up to TVs. Like what? Huh?
I've never, you know, I'm very apprehensive, and it brings us into another point I wanted to make. Like, with all these content channels that are coming out, so Netflix seems
nobody can see you do fucking air quotes. No.
Netflix paved the way for the video on demand.
They're still good.
I still like Netflix, although I feel like the rumors of their death have been greatly exaggerated, but they are seemingly in trouble.
Yeah, they're still fine.
I love the service, and the reason I love Netflix as a service is that it just provides general content. It's not specified to one production house or group or whatever. It's not like the studio model like it used to be in old Hollywood.
Well, yeah, they still have to sign contracts with each provider of content.
They like, do that legwork for me.
But so they're signing bulk deals, access to thousands of movies.
And while a lot of their movies may be god-awful dreck, sometimes I just want to watch god-awful
dreck. Oh, wow, he
said
dreck twice in one episode, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, thank you. I appreciate it. But Hulu, I never really latched onto. Same with ESPN Go or any of those channels because I don't like
you don't
this,
like sports.
Well, yeah, but I don't like the single subscriber content network sort of model because what it seems like is that the marketplace is segmenting into these little factional content channels, right? And you can almost view Xbox as one of them, right? I mean, it's a game channel as opposed to a television channel or a movie channel.
There is so much stuff on Netflix.
I know it's unbelievable how much there is. I'll never watch it all.
I want to watch it all. Let's see. Workaholics, Limitless, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Louie, Mad
If you
Man.
Haven't watched Spaced, it's on there and it's totally fucking
Better
rad.
Off Ted, that was pretty good.
Better Off Ted was really
the
good,
League,
actually.
The League, Code Monkeys, I love Code Monkeys.
Code Monkeys was great.
Man,
all
Eureka,
right, enough about Netflix.
I want to watch all these
Stop
shows.
Talking!
I want to watch these things.
Stop!
It's anyway. Too good. It's too good. Quantum Leap. Oh,
now, but could you imagine if your Netflix subscription, which cost, let's say it cost $5 a month
instead of eight,
but it was only content from ABC?
No, I wouldn't like that. But I'll tell you what I would like. As a guy who still has cable television, like I would like to be able to pick and choose those channels. For this, I just want I want access to an amorphous blob of content, and I'll pull little pieces as I want.
But with the cable
Hand
network,
motions.
You still. But the point is, you're still paying the cable provider, and you're sort of doing a la carte, picking what you want. But it's still coming through the cable provider. My problem with this segmenting of the entertainment industry is that I have to do all the legwork, and I have to create all these different accounts and maintain all these different user IDs for all these different individual channels, which is no different from Xbox. It's just a different medium.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be the way it works for forever. And, I mean, Netflix is a lot of stuff from all over the place.
My personal hope, and I know it'll never happen, is that if I go out and I buy a digital download game, I have that for everything that it's on. That's my hope. I don't know if it's possible. I really don't.
Well,
right. If I go and I buy, what's a title coming out? Max Payne 3.
So it sounds like you really like Steam, because
I think I do. I really do like. I love Steam's model. I just wish it was on other systems or platforms.
Well, they've got to deal with Sony. I got Portal 2 on PlayStation 3, and I also have it on my. I've also played it on my Mac.
Anyway, so we're gonna see how this pans out.
So we're gonna take a break, watch an episode of Portlandia.
That's the worst joke ever. Stop. Like take that. That back. Take it back, John.
Some things you can't take back.
We're going to be back with some more content channel for you.
Yeah, with some more news. News and stuff. Still here.
So we're back, but I think we're back under weird circumstances.
We're going to talk about a subject that's not necessarily a part of nerd culture. Well,
but it is near, it's near and dear to us because maybe it is nerd culture, right? If we care about it.
I don't think me liking something is necessarily nerd culture. Considering, like, wait.
Me liking
I was, like,
it
considering
is.
How much I like football and then pop punk. Because those things are both kind of nerdy in their own right.
Anyway, guys, so we don't like to get too political on the show, but this we feel like this is something worth talking about.
We feel like it's time to talk about USA's comedy detective show, Psych.
I hate you. this is sort of...
Have you ever seen that show? They make... At the beginning of the show, they do a flashback, and so Corbin Burnson plays the character's dad, and so they put Corbin Burnson in a wig and try to make him look like he's, like, 35 instead of 1,000.
Okay, I'm gonna have to watch that show now. All right, back to the topic at hand. Guys, our favorite... The show-endorsed sponsor that we would love to have...
The country's number one...
Chocolate hazelnut spread.
Cocoa hazelnut spread.
Nutella is under attack.
It's Nutella.
Overly litigious bullshit nonsense.
Fat children, essentially.
So there was recently a court case in San Diego where a San Diego mother, Mrs. Athena Hohenberg, that's right, we're calling you out on the show.
It means whale's vagina.
It does. Claimed that the company's... advertising was giving TV ad viewers the idea that Nutella was part of a nutritious breakfast.
Which it is.
The commercial...
If their marketing is to be believed.
The commercial had all of the typical traits of anything that claims that something is a nutritious breakfast. Fucking every cereal since the dawn of man has been part of a balanced nutritional... Fucking Captain Crunch is part of a goddamn nutritional, well-balanced
Stop screaming
breakfast.
At me. This is what...
I am infuriated, John!
I'm muting you. This is why HR is talking to you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree that this is a little excessive. I don't remember their... Actually, I do. I guess I do kind of have this idea in my head that Nutella is somehow better for me than peanut butter, but it's not.
You know what? I mean, it might actually be. I've never done a side-by-side comparison.
It's delicious, though. And
it might have less saturated fat or something like that.
It's like, I hate how these people are trying to ruin a good time because they can't be responsible enough to keep their own asses not fat.
Well, this stupid bitch decided to...
Whoa.
All right.
Whoa.
Whore?
No. No. No, it's not... Like, that's not okay.
I'm sorry, John.
No, because you don't agree with her to be a sexist asshole.
I get very enthused over these things. This stupid... woman.
She's a fucking jerk off.
No, she's
a twat.
How is that better?
No, because I would call a man a twat.
Okay.
But I don't really call many men bitches.
All right, well, I would.
You don't do it very much? And then you called her a whore.
All right, I'll call her a cunt. Because I'll call anyone a
yeah,
cunt.
I'll call,
this
anyway.
Fucking cunt decided that...
No, but the way you said it was
just... Because she spoon-fed her dumb four-year-old goddamn Nutella for fucking 4 years.
The way you just said it, though, made it sound super sexist.
Listen, fuck her and fuck you. This lawsuit is bullshit. You watch
for random beeps in this episode.
It's goddamn overly litigious nonsense, and this woman, fuck her.
Man, I was just talking, I was just like, before the show, I was like, Fred, you know what the show is really missing? Is you ranting about tort reform. So.
Yeah, no, it really is. But
let's get to the heart of the matter.
The heart of the matter is that this upsets me because John and I have a horrible, debilitating Nutella obsession. We can't go to any party that has Nutella and talk to people because we're too busy eating Nutella. Are you really? Come on.
Yeah. So here's what we went to that Kickstarter party and we ate all their Nutella.
We ate literally all their Nutella.
And then in Boston, I was talking to a woman that works at Kickstarter and I was like, yeah, I'm sorry for eating all your Nutella at the party. She's like, that was you? And like, I was like, and my friend.
Yeah. Another guy. Anyway, here's what you got to do. I'm going to keep this above the... I don't know what the term
above
is.
The belt.
Above
so,
the belt.
Okay, so if you go to NutellaClassActionSettlement.com,
and you qualify to fill, you have to have bought Nutella products within a certain time period.
And obviously you did because you listened to the show.
And you love Nutella because it's delicious.
So you can get $20 back if you feel you've been wronged.
It's $4 per container of Nutella you've bought up to 5 within this time period.
Yeah. Which everybody should have been doing anyway. The thing is, this money is going to go to somebody anyway. And we want it to go to you, dear listener. And we want you to do what with it?
We want you to take the $20 or however much you get back from your prior Nutella purchases and go right back to the supermarket and buy Nutella.
It is worth noting that you do not need to show proof of purchase.
No, because no one keeps their receipts from the supermarket. And even if you do, it doesn't say Nutella on it half
the time. And what's that phone number again? That's NutellaClassActionSettlement.com.
Go there, get your 20, buy Nutella. Yeah. And not for nothing, I think we need to start a hashtag, John. I think Occupy Nutella sounds about right.
See, and there you go downplaying the Occupy movement. It's typical Fred with your fucking voting Republican bullshit.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Oh, man. Yeah. We have, obviously.
Oh, so this is a general political segment, so I'm going to have to talk about another thing after this. But so Katie did find a recipe. Katie found a recipe for Nutella gelato.
Oh my God, this is happening.
Yeah, yeah. So, because we had it at the Bluefin Grill in, or is it Blue Water Grill, whatever, it's in Union Square. They had a Nutella gelato, and then they served it with a piece of fudge that was rolled in some, it was
gold,
like,
dust and dreams.
It was like coffee crispiness.
Oh, dude, this...
Yeah, dude, are you... Like,
remember what I said about not wanting to get boners with men?
Yeah, it was my first week of Weight Watchers, too, and I just wanted to punch Katie in the face. Like,
oh,
so much.
God, that sounds good.
So Katie's going to make the Nutella gelato at some point, because we have a stand mixer now.
Oh, dude. I will go ahead and tell you that anytime we do a Fantastic Neighborhood event, which maybe never, but if we ever do, there will be Nutella there.
We're going to record a live podcast at next year's PAX.
Cross our fingers.
No, we're not going to get a room.
PAX
we're
going
to do it in the fucking food court.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah, so Santa now, if we're still friends, we'll do this.
Nutella all around. It's going to happen.
Yeah, but so we're big fans of Nutella, and I looked into the history. It was obviously invented by a fascist in Italy. It's
kind of hard. You couldn't throw a dead rat without hitting a fascist.
Yeah, the only two things that came out of Italy in the 1940s were, Mussolini and fascism. Well, Mussolini / fascism and Nutella.
I don't know if I would call that a good thing.
Because it's from the Piedmont region, which I've been to.
Oh, okay.
Let's just move on.
Occupy Nutella.
We'll be right back with the Game Club. So welcome back to Game Club.
Hi, everybody.
You just heard and are hearing a selection from the Beyond Good and Evil soundtrack called Slaughterhouse Breakdown.
John, now for the most part, Slaughterhouse Scramble.
Oh, yeah.
For the most part, the soundtrack of this game is just...
FTMP, yeah.
Pretty quality video game orchestration, right?
Yeah.
There's a couple of songs on here that were written by a lunatic as he bounced off fucking padded walls.
No. The song I just looked it up. The song you just heard was written by Jonathan Davis of Korn.
God damn it.
You know, good friends of Fred Durst.
Yes.
They had a duet, it was a Limp Bizkit Korn like duet.
It was lounge music, right?
Where Fred Davis,
like, same thing.
No, I think like the dude from Korn calls like they like it's all like this like homophobic, like they just keep bashing each other, like, oh, you're a little faggot.
Well, Korn had a song called Faggot.
Yeah, see, which was really weird because of their whole thing of like being for like that scuzzy outsider kid and then yet doing the same thing.
Well, they were like the original Juggalo, right? Like,
well, no, because ICP has been around since the same time. But
it was that same sort of like, you're on the outside, we understand you and your rage.
Kind of. Yeah, but anyway, I don't know why we're talking about that. Oh, yeah, because Jonathan Davis
wrote that
song.
Because the song is fucking made of crazy and fucking
yeah, no, you
awesome.
Kept saying it was made by Crazy Town, and I'm like, no, Crazy Town does Come My Lady, Come My Sugar Baby, Feel My Butterfly, Sugar Baby.
Yeah, those are enlightened lyrics as well. No, John, I got to tell you.
Shifty Shell Shock.
All I can think of while I played that, because that song takes place during like the fourth like mini game race of the game. And you pretty much have to play it because it earns you a pearl. That song,
necklace.
That
pearl
song,
necklace.
I could not play the game
no,
for like
it
10
earned,
minutes.
It earned you a pearl necklace.
John, shut your mouth. Anyway.
Which is how you got that pearl necklace.
I can't get that
oh,
song
see,
out
like,
of my head.
I'm like Korn. I'm gay bashing you.
Oh, I get it. But it could be my own semen.
Oh, God. COD. That happens.
Wow, this episode, that was it, dude. We just derailed. Goodbye, episode. Goodbye, listenership.
So, welcome back to Game Club. but seriously, so I hadn't played the game in a couple months when we talked about it last week. So, obviously, like any mid-game Game Club, this is going to be pretty brief.
Yeah, I mean, my experience with it was more of the same. Like, you know, the part that I played for this Game Club was basically what I played earlier, but there were a couple of notes I made.
Boring.
No, I mean, the level design for the game I thought was actually pretty clever. I haven't finished Skyward Sword yet.
You never will.
I never will. I have a feeling I never will, and I like the game, but there's something about it that does not bring me back to it.
I'll tell you what. I'm doing a sword motion. Oh, you know what would be more fun?
Actually playing with a sword. But,
I'm going to kill somebody.
Yeah, the motion controls for Skyward Sword actually took me out, as good as a game as it actually was. This game, I want to finish. I need to finish this game. Yeah, like, really like it.
And also, it's by all accounts, only about 12 hours. I tell you what, I feel like I'm struggling through it.
Do you really? I've never felt that way.
I mean, I'm not having trouble getting through it, but maybe the game very abruptly ends, because, like, I'm 7 hours in. I'm, like, most of the way through the slaughterhouse, and I just feel like, is there this much game as I've played left already? Because I go to that stupid shop and I see the spaceship thing is available for 30 pearls.
I mean, there's effectively, I think, 4 dungeons in the whole game.
Okay, because I know at the end of the mission you get a shitload of pearls regardless.
Yeah, I mean, I think they made it so that you don't actually have to play all the minigames. Like, if you do the math, the things that you need in the shop is like 70-something pearls, and you can get a total of 88.
Yeah, and you need 80 to get the Chivo.
Yeah, so I think there were some extraneous ones just so you didn't have to do the side quests if you didn't want to. That being said, I think a lot of the side quests were actually pretty fun.
Yeah, I mean, and I like the game so far. I like the Damn the Man sort of thing. I mean, very topical with Occupy Wall Street resurgence this week.
This is true.
I also... Get a job, you hippies. Actually, don't. Keep going, because I'm not gonna join you.
Someone has to do it, right, John?
Yeah. So, sometimes the stealth parts are not... Actually, no. Stealth parts are fun.
I actually... The thing that took me... The first dungeon in the game has entirely zero stealth aspects to it. And then suddenly, at some point, the game...
In the second one...
It just becomes all about stealth.
Yeah, and sneaking around and, timing things.
Yeah, which is fine. It's just very stark and sudden. Like, you
and
weren't
it's easy
expecting
to get another chance. It's not like a Splinter Cell or something.
Yeah, no, I mean, the game is very forgiving. I think it was... I feel like the game was targeting a younger audience than even us.
I don't know about all that.
It's pretty friendly, and there's anthropomorphic animals.
Yeah, but it's pretty subversive.
This is true, but it's not too bad. I mean, I don't know.
I tell you one thing I really struggle with... beating the shark face dude at the minigame.
I did it both times pretty quick. I'm just more talented than you are.
Yeah, no, probably. You're going to do that before you leave my apartment.
Okay.
You're going to beat it for me.
I think I could do
Fuck,
that.
You can't, because I'm in the middle of the damn mission. Forget it.
I'll dial in and I'll do it.
Yeah, can you dial into my BBS and we'll play Legend of the Red Dragon.
But, yeah, I don't know.
That's one that new listeners aren't going to know.
No, I know. We're young and...
Well, actually, did you play games on BBSs? Were you into the BBS thing? We're the same age. I was very young. I was probably way too young to be doing that.
I was bigger.
So I was 11.
I was bigger into MUDs.
Yeah, they had MUDs on BBSs.
Yeah, but not like the BBS stuff was more of a role-playing game. Like, someone was actually telling the story as you went.
No. I played Legend of the Red Dragon on there.
I liked MUDs, and I liked the sort of, like, point-and-click adventures that sort of spawned out of them later on. But that's not really this topic, is it?
No. And I have some game recommendations for you, by the way.
Okay.
We might do them on Game Club. All
right. But
yeah, so far, so good. We're going to finish it for next week.
Yeah, I mean, my only real critique of this game right now is really, once again, the age that it's showing. It does, there's some what I would like to refer to as Resident Evil camera going on in this game.
Yeah, there are parts where they take camera control away from you, and it's not a good thing.
I appreciate the effort, and at the time, I think it was actually pretty decent compared to what was out there, but, like, because they want to have it, they want the game to have a cinematic feel. But there's just times where the camera angle is so daunting, and just you'll accidentally walk back through the door you came in from.
Yeah, I also something I don't like is I don't like the X is the primary action button.
Yeah, that's
can
a little
I change
weird.
That? I don't know. I never looked. A should be the primary action button.
And it is in some cases, but not in others.
I also don't. Well, it's something that we've kind of like said we dislike about older games at some point. Like a contextual use button is useful, but I kind of want to be able to jump at all times, if that makes sense.
There is no jump in the game. There's a dive. There's no jump.
Yeah, but like you'll come up to something and it'll be X, you know, press X to jump.
Right.
And we're using X on the 360, which means, you know.
Well, I would say that the jump is actually more of a climb. Like X is to climb on things, while the jump is mostly just automatic as you walk towards something.
Yeah, which I don't like. Unless when you're a hovercraft, and then you have to hit A if you get the jump
right
thing.
That being said, I also don't like falling into pits 100 times over. So there is no like accidentally falling off a ledge in this game.
Yeah, which I don't like falling off edges anyway. Yeah, but all in all, good times.
I think I'm looking forward
well
to being
worth
in the $10.
Game.
Oh, absolutely, and I want to see where the story goes because right now I don't know how the game, even though it's a fairly cartoony game and very bright color, sort of weird future anthropomorphic animal planet, it actually takes a pretty dark turn, and I wonder if it's not going to continually get darker.
Yeah, I think it probably will.
So I definitely want to see where it ends.
Yeah, I agree. I will see this through. I don't know when, but I'll play it.
I'll be playing it probably tonight.
Well, good for you.
Good for me indeed, Judd. Good for me.
Yeah, let's wrap this up so I can play games tonight.
We're wrapping this up. We'll be right back with the outro. Fuck the police coming straight from the underground. A young nigga got it bad because I'm brown. And not the other color, so police think they have the authority to kill a minority. Fuck that shit because I ain't the one for a punk motherfucker with a badge and a gun to be beaten on. And thrown in jail, we can go toe to toe in the middle of a sale. Fucking with me because I'm a teenager. Gold and a pager, searching my car, looking for the product, thinking every nigga is selling narcotics. You rather see me in the pen than me and Lorenzo rolling in a Benzo. Be the police out of shape, and when I finish, bring the yellow tape. So welcome back. Hi guys. Hi again. That's gonna be my catchphrase. Hi guys.
It's time to say goodbye.
Oh, but it was so good. I'm gonna miss everyone.
So first of all, we wanted to talk about the candidate we endorsed for president has suspended his campaign.
The candidate John endorsed, but the policy that I endorsed.
Candidate Moonbase has given
yes.
up. Newt Gingrich has dropped out, so we're going to go back to supporting, come on, we're voting for Obama, right?
Yeah.
I can't keep up the ruse.
I realized that people might not understand our sarcasm because they don't know us.
No, I really would have. If Newt Gingrich would have won, I absolutely would have voted for him.
You think so?
It wouldn't have mattered. He wouldn't have won New York. But I would have done it.
I could never. My hope was that Newt Gingrich, that policy would be something that Obama would latch onto and go like, you know what? Not only is that a good policy, but I'm going to do it in 4 years, by the end of my first term.
Well, he addressed the moon base. He was like, hey, maybe that wasn't the smartest thing to say, but I believe that Americans should not lose the spirit of adventure.
And you know what I think it is the smartest thing to say?
As much as I hate that man, he's completely true. He might as well have taken that from Neil deGrasse Tyson, like, we have lost our favor for adventure. And I mean, you see behind you, I have this giant telescope that Katie bought me. That I'm gonna get some use out of this summer.
John, the day I can move off of this planet, it's a done deal.
Yeah, you gotta watch out for those fucking Nexus 6, though. They go a little wacky.
The day it happens.
So, thank you to the bands. There are none this week. Except
exciting news.
Measuring Gray says they're gonna write us a theme song.
Oh my god, it's gonna be rad. I've actually been talking to Ian. Over Facebook. He's got a lot of cool friends and cool ideas.
Yeah, he says a buddy at Wizards.
At Wizards.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll bring him on one of these days. If he's that makes two people from Wizards I want to bring on.
Yeah. Episodes that are all be like, yeah,
Cool. I went to the Wizards of the Coast store. Like, they used to have this thing in the U District in Seattle.
The store, right?
It was kind of a store, but it was also a big LAN party upstairs.
Yeah, like, no, it was a chain of places that got shut down after a while. But
yeah,
they had
the thing
LAN
is they put it in a... are you fucking kidding me? You're biting your fucking nails
really
in the mic.
I'm excited.
Oh, I just... Oh, if my entire body could just throw up at one time, it just happened.
I do that just for you, John.
Anyway, so they built that Wizard store in what was my former arcade.
Okay.
Well, one of them, it was in my... what? Because they closed down the first one, and then so I started going to the Scuzzy one where there's more fights over... like
over the Primal Rage machine?
There were more fist fights over Street Fighter. And so I went to that one, and then that eventually closed down, and it became the Wizard store. But of course, there was the... Sega Gameworks downtown, which was a co-project with DreamWorks. Spielberg and that lot had their hand
in
that.
No, we don't have that kind of magic anymore. We don't see things like that anymore.
I'd miss the 90s. The dream of the 90s is still alive in Portland, so...
And Seattle, honestly.
Yeah.
They have superheroes in Seattle, John.
I like both those places, and I'm going to go back next spring. That being said... it's shout out time.
Shout outs.
Are we gonna take turns?
Shitty nitty zizzies.
Do you have it up?
This is a question and answer, but Will Gallego writes, how about talk about Kotaku and going down the crapper?
Okay, how about Kotaku?
Out of context.
How about how Kotaku is going down the crapper?
How about how Kotaku is going down? There you go.
And we responded. We actually covered that in our July 8th, 2009 episode.
That was a pretty witty answer.
You like
I got
that? We did recently discover our archives. I know most of you have only been listening for 12 episodes, but Fred and I recently unearthed some archives. Little known fact, we've been recording this for over 20 years.
Right. Me and John have been friends forever, and we've always just looked for a platform to talk about these games with. Not the internet, but the fact that we both have full-time jobs and we can afford equipment has sort of facilitated that. But we have tried this in the past.
Yeah. So, I mean, at some point when we're unavailable to put an episode up, we're gonna put up one of these classic episodes.
We have to digitize them first.
Yeah. From analog from fucking cassette tape.
I know. We'll try to do what we can about the quality loss. Anyway, Diego Eduardo Rioja? I don't know how to say
it. Yeah, Rioja.
He writes, and it becomes very apparent that Diego has not been listening to our show. Fez. Discuss Fez.
We will. I'm going to discuss it more when I get the chance to like really go balls deep
you
in
need
that.
To be done with your wedding and honeymoon before you die.
Yeah, I'm
going to
go balls deep in that. Aaron D. Champagna says, game club idea. Rez. People will think you meant Fez.
Which is not actually a bad idea, because Rez was a pretty cool game.
So I'm calling it Game Club for the week I get back from a honeymoon. So Game Club for the day after Memorial Day, which I guess will be the 29th. Or, excuse me, you'll listen to it on the 31st.
Oh, man, that's going to be Beer Garden O'Clock, too.
Yeah, so Game Club for the episode coming out on the 31st is going to be Rez. And we'll remind you at a later point about that. But good suggestion there, Aaron. And are you going to play on 360 and hook up a bunch of controllers so you get the vibrator trance mode on?
Wait, what?
Okay, so if you play the updated 360 version of Rez,
mm-hmm.
you can hook up four controllers and place them in various places. It's supposed to...
Is that like the Sega Activator?
It kind of. It's like the vest they released in Japan with the PS2 version that would do the bass parts.
Wow.
So you could. I'm going to hook up all the controllers I have and do that, and also like really, you know, turn up my surround sound.
That's pretty creepy. I might do it. We'll find out.
Yeah, so Rez will be the game club in a few weeks.
Cool. James McPhee writes...
It's Jamie McPhee.
Jamie McPhee.
I don't know why he goes by his Christian name up here.
The hybrid beta. You guys playing it? I think it's pretty sweet. I know nothing about this.
It's a multiplayer online shooter.
Is it a free-to-play online shooter?
It's probably not going to be free-to-play because it's on 360, but it's going to be cheap to entry.
All right, I'm playing it.
I did sign up for the beta. I'm not in yet.
Well, then I guess I won't be playing
it. It is signing up for the beta.
And you, I'll use the link I send you, because if you sign, if
you get gold.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah. So, this is from the people that brought you Scribble Knots.
Oh, really?
I think so.
That's a pretty lofty lofty title to toss around there. Scribble Knots is a pretty genius game.
Well, no, it's a real. It's wait, no, Fifth Cell. Who the fuck is Fifth Cell?
John, were you wrong? Are you admitting defeat right now?
If I am, I'm deleting it.
I hate that you have
no.
Editing.
There's Scribble Knots. There's right. Scribble Knots. So, and then Hybrid is their next game, and they're self-publishing. So I think I heard somebody them talking about this on the Bombcast this week. Like, they're kind of just making it good. This might be third person cover based, but yeah, I'm gonna get in when I can get in. And you know, this isn't really my genre, but if Jamie McPhee's playing.
Listen, if Jamie McPhee is playing, you know I got to play.
And Jamie McPhee, why aren't we friends on Xbox? I don't think we are. Send me a friend request. Anyway, so, I'm John Awesomeness. Fred's Proto-Addict.
Yeah. It's I'm actually J-O-A- Fred Proto-Addict.
Oh, Fred Proto-Addict. I'm John Space Awesomeness.
Anyway, so yeah, we'll definitely check it out. We're not playing it actively. I'm completely unaware of it, but it sounds from the 2 minutes that John's rambled. If it's by the guys who made Scribble Knots, I'm happy with it.
Yeah.
So, and then we got the last question here.
It's my turn.
Your turn.
Fable. Fable Hero says, Harold Price, why do people not like him? I'm just kidding, Harold. People like you. Harold Price says, Fable Heroes, why do people not like it? I don't know. It looks bad. It's probably...
Yeah, I've never been much for the Fable
It's not
brand.
That. It's a Fable... side-scrolling beat-em-up.
Right, but it still has the Fable title.
Oh,
right?
Sorry to distract from Harold's comment here. Dude, you know what we need to play as a Game Club game? You know what I'm going to say, right?
No, but I'd love for you to tell me.
2D side-scrolling beat-em-up Saturn-scrolling.
Oh, Guardian Heroes?
We need to play Guardian Heroes.
Fuck yeah!
Dude, because I bought the 360 version and didn't play it once.
Oh, it's done. It's on, dude.
Yeah.
Guardian Heroes, happening.
So that's going to happen at some point. As for Fable Heroes, I don't know why people don't like it. Joystick looks like they gave it 1.5 stars.
That's pretty brutal, actually.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, Harold. I'm going to play I'll play the demo and get back to you on this, but I have a feeling that people don't like it because it's bad.
I mean, I just don't give a shit about the Fable mythos.
Well, that's your thing, dude, but like, judge the game on its own merits.
Yeah.
And Fred's going to play it, too.
Listen, I judge every book by its cover, goddammit. That's why they have covers.
See, like, I don't believe in God, but you say goddammit way too much.
Well, that's just out of respect for those loving All right. Christians out there.
And that was feedback.
John, this is a good episode.
It wasn't that bad.
It wasn't there. It wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
So why don't you
tell your friends about us?
Yeah, you know... We need like a street team. Is that still like a zine?
You know, like, well, I mean, podcasts are the new zine, so
it's a punk. We need a more punk rock ethic surrounding it. People need to promote the things that they like and get people to like them for them. So
you can follow me on Twitter. I am Hey John Anderson, and that's HeyJon Anderson.
You spell out everything except the most complicated part.
Well, no, because the really complicated part there is... Like, why people put an H in the word John. Like, that's insane to me.
John.
It's ridiculous. Anyway.
you know what
I almost slipped up and said? The R word.
Oh, jeez.
Rape. God, that's awful.
Anyway, you can find me at ProtoAddict.
And you
on
can,
Twitter.
You can find him at Shit Fred Says. Oh, just kidding. Nobody maintained
that. No one
exactly
maintained that.
Like, I knew what would happen. That
yeah.
would happen.
It was a noble idea while it happened.
So you can... the show is also a website. There hasn't been any content recently, but there will be at some point, probably
also,
after the wedding.
It's also on the Facebooks at facebook.com/fantasticneighborhood
yeah.
and on Twitter at fantastichood.
And at fantasticneighborhood.com. So if you do like our show, go ahead and subscribe in iTunes, rate us in iTunes, write us a word review in iTunes. We'd appreciate it, of course.
Post some nonsense on our website. We love comments.
If you're like on the Zune Marketplace or some sort of other podcast directory of some sort, just let us know. And we'll try to get on there too.
Yeah, I don't know where people consume anymore. Like, obviously iTunes, but like, how do people subscribe to podcasts?
iTunes.
Is it just iTunes? Like, is that really like the market? I mean, because I do it through my phone.
Well, because everybody, would you just add the RSS feed?
No, there's a Google Listen app where you can just subscribe to podcasts. Like, it has a directory.
Oh, you know who uses that?
People who have Android phones.
Google employees. And you.
Well, there's no iTunes on my phone, dude. And since the only place I listen to podcasts is on my phone, it makes sense.
So, say goodnight, Fred.
Good night, Fred. Best episode
Sugar, baby.
They got booed at Ozfest.
Shifty, you're telling me the band led by Shifty Shellshock was booed at Ozfest? Let me find this song.
Well, why were they there?
They were one of those. They had a DJ. They were like kind of. Their other songs were like shitty new metal. What was it?